there about 11:15 or something like that. Three sheets to the wind, you're going to put a, yeah. You take one step out of this room, Grover has orders to bite your leg and give you rabies. Down, Grover, down. Everybody ready? It's going to be ready? Look, I have a statement to make. It's going to take a couple of minutes, but I'm asking you to bear through this one with me because what I'm saying today is awfully important to me and I think awfully important to this campaign. Last year when I launched the campaign against Proposition 1, I said I was doing so because I could not sit back and watch the people of this state fall victim to a hoax. I feel very much the same way right now in this gubernatorial campaign. I cannot simply sit back and allow the voters of California to make a judgment as important as that of the election of the governor of this state based on a public relations created image. The parallels that I see between the campaign of Jerry Brown Jr. this year and that of Richard Nixon in 1968 and 1972 are striking. First, you build a big lead in the public opinion polls, in this case, solely because you have a recognizable family name. Second, you develop commercials which package and merchandise the candidate like some sort of soap product. Third, run and hide from your opponents in an attempt not to be seen face to face and compared in fear of bursting the bubble. The inherent hypocrisy of the Brown campaign is astounding to me and I think must be noted and has to be noted by the people of this state. In times as critical and as difficult as these, we must not fall victim to that approach again. The damage that results is too injurious to everybody in this state. What must happen is the close scrutiny of each one of us. What have we said? What have we done? And how do the two compare? Are they consistent or not? Let's look at just a few of the differences between what Jerry Brown has said and what he has done. This is a direct quote that we took out of the LA Times of April 24, 1974. Jerry says, "We need to take the price tag out of politics." Now, let me just point out a few things. In the closing weeks of this 1974 gubernatorial campaign, Jerry is outspending all other candidates. In 1970, he outspent his Republican opponent by better than 3-1. And in 1969, he spent twice as much as the combined total of all of the other successful candidates for the Los Angeles Community College Board of Trustees. Next quote. In his statement of announcement for governor on January 28th, he said, "Dummy political committees must be abolished." One contributor gave Jerry Brown $33,000 through 11 committees to avoid paying gift taxes. On 8 of those committees, the contributor was the only donor or one of just a few donors. April 9th, 1974, out of the San Francisco Chronicle, Jerry Brown decries accepting contributions from lobbyists as revolting. At just one dinner, a $125 plate dinner at the Century Plaza, Brown realized over $133,000, much of which came from the large corporate interests which hire the lobbyists. Now, somebody's going to have to draw the distinction to me between taking it directly from a lobbyist or the lobbyist boss or the lobbyist corporation. Again, I quote, and this is December 2773 from the Sacramento Union. "The voters will be better served if the candidates concentrate on a legitimate discussion of the issues and forego some of the 30-second commercials." While Brown continues to evade a debate on the issues, he will be spending more than the combined total of both Alioto and myself on television commercials in the closing weeks of this campaign. I don't mind Jerry Brown raising funds, and I don't mind his getting even very large contributions. What I do mind is his attempt to deceive the voters of this state in that regard. I think if I have any reputation to which you might agree up here, it is one of being candid and direct. I've not been afraid to let people know my position on any major issue, even when that position has been an unpopular one. I believe that those of us in public office owe at least that much to the people that we are supposed to be representing. It is for that reason that I have today again called on Brown and Alioto to join me in a series of debates throughout the state, four in number, in San Diego, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, and in Sacramento, between now and June 4th. I will adjust my schedule however necessary. I will cancel whatever events are necessary in order to give the people of this state a chance to see the three leading contenders for the Democratic nomination together, face to face, hear the difference in how they approach solutions that need to be made real in this state in the course of this campaign. Any candidate who is unwilling to do that, and Brown is in the process now of waffling on the KNBC offer that was made to himself, to Alioto, and to me, any candidate that's not willing to do that, I don't think, ought to be in a position to ask the people of this state to make him the next governor.
That you're going after Brown pretty hard here, does that indicate that in the last 2 weeks of the campaign you're not as close as you thought you would be? Are you getting a little worried about Brown now?
No, the reason I'm doing it, Otis, and it's not just a matter of whether or not, you know, people are going to vote for me in this campaign. I think Waldie is more qualified than Brown. I think Alioto is more qualified than Brown. I think Roth is more qualified than Brown. And that the people ought not to be in a position of electing a governor who's going to affect their lives for the next 25 years by virtue of his appointed power on the basis of what they see on television commercials and television commercials only. But more than anything else, don't, you know, let's not get sold another Nixon song. I mean, that is really, you know, we bought a package in 68, and we bought it again in 72, and we found out how disastrous those, you know, those decisions were. I don't want to make another disastrous decision. I don't, if Jerry Brown wins, God bless him, but let him win being straight with the people and telling them the way it is, not pretending to be one thing, while on the other hand being another thing. It just seems to me that they've got to know that, you know, there is a very, very hypocritical and cynical attitude on the part of the Brown campaign and how they have to go about winning the votes of the people of this state.
When you say, talk about the issues, would you enumerate what you think are the three or four top issues, what candidates should be talking about?
Yeah, they ought to be talking about tax reform in California. They ought to talk about dealing with the oil industry in this state. They ought to be talking about the state's ability to deal with inflation. Understanding, of course, we don't have the power that the federal government does to affect that area, but there is a lot the governor can do to help fight inflation in this state. And it seems to me that if we don't talk about those things and the energy crisis, we're really not talking about the things that are important on a day-to-day, bread-and-butter basis to the people of this state. They are worried about their jobs, and they are worried about the economy.
What could a governor do to fight inflation?
The governor has a lot of very direct control over the cost of agricultural products in California and over the cost of such things as milk. He, in effect, sets the price of milk in the state of California. The governor does that very directly. He, in effect, sets the price of fruits and vegetables in this state by virtue of the fact that he appoints the overseeing boards and commissions that govern. And the decisions they make with regard to packaging, with regard to the size, with regard to sugar content, all determine how much of the product that is grown by the farmer is going to be available to the consumer. And the farmer has to charge the same thing. If you use 10% of his crop or 100% of his crop, he's got to get the same amount of money from you. Well, if you cull out and throw away large portions of the crop that is grown, the price on what is left escalates accordingly, because he's still got to realize as much money from what he grows. And the fact is that when we've got a bumper crop in California, what we do is set the sugar content very, very high for citrus fruit, for example. And that means that, you know, a smaller portion of what is grown is made available. When there's a bad crop, they lower that sugar content and they make available more significant amounts of what is grown. Cantaloupes. Cantaloupes are, if you've ever gone to a cantaloupe field, you will see that sometimes half the crop is thrown away for no other reason than that they're too large or too small or shaped differently or can't be, you know, easily crated, something like that. It is perfectly nutritious. It is perfectly good. It is just left in the fields to rot. So the governor does have an ability to control through those things.
Pointed out to me this morning by one of our bureau members who had gone through the campaign reports that he said you're reporting about $16,000 in contributions from various parts of the apparel industry. And he said that there is some question here about you're trying to block legislation that would require fireproofing of all children's clothing. Would you comment on that?
What?
That's what I'm asking you, because he brought this up, and I thought I'd ask you whether it's true. Is there legislation, and are you trying to block it to fireproof children's clothing?
Again, there may be legislation. I'm not aware of it if there is, first of all. Secondly, nobody from the apparel industry has even ever spoken to me about a specific piece of legislation. The money that I've gotten from the apparel industry largely is a result of a friend of mine named Lee Bronson, who is in that industry and has introduced me to other members of that industry, and they have made contributions to me. They have never once spoken to me about any specific piece of legislation. Howard? Well, do you want to roll it, Cal?
No, we need 10 seconds for our ancient camera to get up to speed. I want the...
It's a Hong Kong camera, you're going to get up.
With those
chipmunks.
Can we do it now? Excuse me.
He's right in the middle of one, Marty.
Do you believe that that the price tag should be taken out of politics?
I believe it ought to be taken out by virtue of going to public financing for campaigns. Howard, it has to, by nature, require the expenditure of large sums of money to run a decent campaign in California. There is no other way to get a message across to 21 million people.
You believe essentially the same thing that Jerry Brown believes, though.
But as I said, very specifically, I don't mind him raising money. I don't even mind him raising it in large amounts. What I mind is his telling the public he's not doing it while he is doing it. That's what I mind.
Telling the public that he's not raising money?
Well, he's always making statements about how terrible political contributions are, how he's going to put an end to large contributions, how he's against political dummy campaign funds. And he sets them up, and he goes ahead and does the opposite of what he says he's doing. And I just don't think the people ought to swallow that hook, line, and sinker. And some people are not aware of the fact that Jerry has acted in a manner much different from the way he speaks.
Just for the record, by how much is he outspending you?
Well, we have... In these last weeks of the campaign with regard to television budget, which is what I know about, better than 2-1.
The last few weeks?
Yeah, in the last...
What about...
Yeah, the last 3-4 weeks.
What about overall?
Better than 2-1. Oh, he will outspend me by how many dollars exactly? I do not know. A great deal of our money has gone into the organizational aspects of the campaign, in producing literature, in developing a precinct organization, in trying to, make a more personalized contact with people. We have spent much less on the media than Jerry.
One of the areas where he's gained a lot of support is because he's associated in the public mind with his father. Is there anything that can be said about that?
Well, I suppose his own words are enough. Ken, he said if his name was John Smith, he wouldn't even be in this race or have a chance to win it. And it seems to me that says something about, what he has in fact done in the way of political career. He admits the only reason he's even in the race is because his name is Edmund G. Brown, Jr. Well, it was in, I think it was in the L.A. Times where I read it. I'll try and get the exact article for you. Or it was in one of the college newspapers. I will find it for you. But the fact is that, a man ought not to be elected governor simply because his father was governor, or that he's got the same name as his father. What kind of a basis is that on which to elect a governor of this state? And I just don't think that he ought to be allowed to, to continue using his dad's good political name on the one hand and saying things in opposition to his own action on the other. He's out there blasting oil companies every time you turn around. Look at the amount of money that he has taken, from the oil industry. It's just very, very hypocritical.
Last week, Brown charged you with waffling on Proposition 9, evidently referring to the fact that you say you're for it, but you have reservations and you're not campaigning for it.
I do have some reservations, and I am not making it, nor have I ever, before or since the Labor Convention, made that a main part of my campaign, Marty. Proposition 9 is on the ballot. I have taken a position in support of it, and what I have said was, there will be, and I know there will be, court fights on the constitutionality of that proposition. And I've also said that nobody's going to know what the courts are going to say until they say it. And on that basis, with it not having been declared unconstitutional, with nobody having affirmatively demonstrated some evil that will result from it, that I am supporting Proposition 9. It has never been a major part of my campaign, and it won't be from here on out. But I have not changed any position on it at all. Jerry Brown is jumping on this issue without, of course, ever indicating to the public what the legislature has done, and particularly what the Assembly has done. The Waxman-Dimely bill is the toughest campaign reporting law in this country. We passed the Moscone financial disclosure law. We passed the Mead lobbyist control law. All of those things have been done here. In addition to that, this system up here, and you know it, has been opened considerably. We've got roll call votes both on measures and amendments. The Joint Conference Committee on the Budget is open. We don't hold executive sessions. And Jerry Brown is trying to make people believe that some kind of insidious activity goes on around here. That is not true, and that is why he is so distasteful to the members of the legislature. That is why only 3 of the 70 Democratic members of this legislature have seen fit to endorse his candidacy. They don't like him, they don't trust him, and it is easy to understand because he continues to tell the public untruths about the way we operate up here.
As you indicated, the legislature has already taken the lead in passing some of these things.
Right.
Then what do we need Prop 9 for?
Well, first of all, Prop 9, I think, is an extension of this. We did not get into law the lobbyist control portion, which we passed out of the Assembly because of the amendments the Senate put in it. And it seems to me, Marty, that in view of the political circumstances and the political aura, that we need to pass something that will make the general public feel greater confidence in the way we finance campaigns and the way we control lobbying activities up here, and that's what Prop 9 does.
People contribute to your campaign, obviously have an interest in legislation which might come up.
Of course.
What do you say to them when you said that it's demeaning to raise funds?
Right.
What do you do when you go to see a potential contributor? What do you actually promise him?
Nothing, man. And I mean, I don't know how to make you believe that. It is just something that is absolutely against my personality. I don't like to be pushed into a corner, and I don't like somebody to say, "You do this, and I'll do that." I don't work that way with the members up here, and I think you all know that. You've never heard of me threatening a member, a chairman, or anything else and telling them, "You do this, I'll do this." It is not the way I operate. And I won't do it with campaign contributors, and as a matter of fact, have had to say no to a substantial number of dollars because of my unwillingness to trade money for commitment. I will not do it. If they want to help me, fine. If they don't want to help me, that is their business. But they're never going to get something out of me on the basis that they made a contribution to me. It is something against my nature, and I won't do it for anybody, for any amount. I will not do it. If you do it once, you are up for sale, and everybody else will come and do the same thing to you.
Can you at least offer them access?
I offer access to people who contribute and people who don't contribute. And it does, you know, I think you know that I've had a fairly open access to just about anybody. I'm a guy who walks around alone. I don't have a big security guard around me. Somebody wants to stop and ask me a question, I do it, regardless of whether or not they've ever contributed to me. And if they've got a problem, I listen. That's like saying I won't listen if the farm workers lobby is up here because they haven't contributed to my campaign, or I won't listen to a group of old people who come up here and want to tell me about their problems. They haven't contributed to my campaigns. They have access to me and willing access to me. And anybody that, you know, that tries to make it all seem as though there's something evil going on up here, he's just not portraying accurately what the situation is. And what is the last piece of political corruption that you've seen around here? Can you recall it in our house, at least? Somebody having done something illegal, having taken a bribe or any of that stuff. And I don't think we have a reputation for operating that way. And I resent it, and the other legislators resent it, when somebody tries to indicate to the public that's what's going on. We don't want to be viewed as bad people. We want people to love us just like everybody else wants. And we would like to be the people's heroes if we could. Well, you know, we have to accept reality and that is not always true. But don't go around telling people that we do something that's wrong when we don't. You know, that's what we resist, that's what we resent, and that's what we resent most about Jerry Brown's campaign.
Or backing him if he got the nomination?
No, because I believe the Democratic Party is better for people, and I have seen it exercised time and time again, Marty. I just hope that the people will choose one of the more qualified candidates in Jerry Brown.
What are you going to do if you lose?
I don't know. I may join you guys. I don't know. Because I know what questions to ask.
I think Hugh Flournoy is better qualified than Jerry Brown.
I think Hugh knows more about state government, but Hugh is also going to be victim to the Republican pressure that is put on him. And the biggest single disappointment that I've seen in Hugh Flournoy, Howard, was when, after he discussed with me 5 or 6 times the possibility of co-chairing the campaign against Proposition 1, he turned around and supported Proposition 1, which means he is very subject to the conservative pressure that he receives.
With you, the possibility of co-chairing the
campaign? Oh, yeah, 5 or 6 times, man.
Is that known? Was that generally known?
Well, I don't know if it's generally known or not, Howard, but it is true. And as a matter of fact, the CTA also discussed the same thing with him, you know, in trying to put the two of us. Yeah, I've said it before. I don't know if anybody's ever paid attention to it before. Yeah. What?
Who'd you ever say it to?
I've said it at meetings several times. I think I probably said it in a press conference a couple of times. Have I, Grover? Yeah.
Talk to your press conference.
Okay.
Did he explain to you afterward why he changed?
What he said to me was, if he did that, that I was asking him to give up any possibility of winning the Republican nomination.
So, in short, today, if you're rating the gubernatorial candidates, you rate yourself, Alioto, Waldie, and Roth ahead of Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And Brown ahead of Flournoy.
Yes. That's true. I love you all. Is that it? Anything else? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.